So, all right, turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2, and I am honored to be here. Thank you for the kindness toward me last night, the surprise birthday party. I am just unworthy, but I'm mighty thankful. Now I'm past 70. The Bible says 70, if by reason of strength 80. So I've officially topped over the hill, and I'm on the downhill slide, and I'm mighty thankful for God allowing me to be here. I love your pastor. I love your church. And to me, it's a big, big deal to be in another man's pulpit. When I pray, Lord, help me to reinforce what that pastor's doing. And when we talked about emphasizing the family, every year when I pastored 25 years there as senior pastor, I took the month of February, and I taught on the home and family. The first week was always to husbands. The second week was always to wives. The third week was to teenagers. And the fourth week was on rearing young children. 25 years in a row, because I believe the home and the family is a big, big deal to God, and I know to each individual. And I get that people come from various backgrounds, and there'll be those who said, hey, look, I had a dysfunctional home or an abusive father or my mother walked out on us when I was six or whatever. And especially in this day and age, people don't have the ideal nuclear family, mom and dad and four little kids. And I get that. But what we stand for, what we believe, what the Bible teaches on the home and family is the same. And to the extent that we can line ourselves up with it, we ought to. And no matter, look, if I didn't believe God could get us from where we are to where we ought to be, if I didn't believe in the grace of God for conviction and victory and grace, forgiveness, then I'd go sell cars or something. The reason I'm in the ministry is because I believe the grace of God can help people get from wherever we find them to wherever we ought to be. When I pastored, we had in front of me murderers, child abusers, drug abusers. We had prostitute. That was just the deacons. I'm saying, look, it's just a bunch of sinners piled in a big heap, right? I mean, there's nobody here that's perfect. We all need the grace of God and thankful that he shielded us from some things and delivered us from some other things. Such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. So today, I'm talking about these words in the book of Proverbs. I'm going to have a helper. There's this girl who's a somewhat unwilling volunteer who's going to write words for me. So, maybe not, I don't know. We need somebody who can write. But in the Bible, there are statements that I call summary statements. If a dad is on his deathbed, and he calls the family to his side, he's in his last cognizant moments, and his children are gathered there. What does he say? As a Christian, what do you say to your children, your posterity, your grandchildren? They're gathered there. You would say something like, stay faithful to God. Always believe the Bible. Serve the Lord for the rest of life. Right? You would say something like that. The Bible is full of those kind of statements. In Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, verse 11 and 12, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man upon the earth. In Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, it says, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to love mercy and to do justly and to walk humbly with thy God. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, when he's meeting with the Ephesian elders and he's about to go and be betrayed there at Jerusalem, and He says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. You know, those kind of summary statements. Well, we have one of those here in Proverbs chapter 2. Slip down to verse 20 and 21 of Proverbs chapter 2. It says, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men, verse 20, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. Now look with me. Verse 1, he says, my son, if. And then all these intervening verses, 2, 3, 4 through 19, he gives all these instructions, and then he says, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the upright. Let me ask you, Mom, Dad, would you say that would be a laudable goal, a commendable goal? Would you say that would be a good target that you'd want for your children? That you'd, hey, whether I'm there or not, your future, here's what I'd like it to look like, that you would walk in the way of good men and you'd keep the paths of the upright, that you stayed true to the things of God Almighty, right? You could lay your head on a pillow in peace each night and at the dawn of eternity, and you could say, hey, if my kids would do that, I could be happy. And so it's worth looking then at what did he say between verse 1 and verse 20. And that's what we're going to do today. So the first six verses, look with me at verse 1 of Proverbs 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and have my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then, verse 5, shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So right away, we're going to just launch right into this. Notice in verse 1 and verse 6, he makes a big deal out of the word of God. Hey, if you're going to be right, do right, know right, follow right, then you got to get it from the Lord, because the world is no measure, no arbiter of right and wrong. Hey, this country was founded on Bible principles, and a lot of our laws reflected Bible truths. But boy, we get to the day and age where they legalize homosexual marriage. That's against the Bible. You cannot trust your own emotions. You can't trust popular opinion. You can't trust government edicts. Only the Bible is the arbiter between right and wrong. And he makes a big deal out of this. They say our Congress today, with the liberals in control of the legislature, they're trying to get the Ten Commandments removed from the halls of Congress because it's a hostile work environment. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. How do you expect them to operate under conditions like that? Hey, popular opinion, Democratic vote, you can't trust that to be right or wrong. The Bible is what's right or wrong. God's right or wrong, not the government. And so we have here, he says, my son, if you receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, verse 6, the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The first word I want to talk about starts with a K. Are you helping me? Okay, come on. The first one starts with a K, the word knowledge. It's spelled with a D in the Bible. Sometimes it's just spelled K-N-O-W, knowledge. Okay, thank you, dear. I always call them victims instead of volunteers. They always go, oh, sure, I can do it. But knowledge. What is knowledge? Knowledge is just the facts. Here you have, this is a wooden podium, that's a flag, that's a light, this is a pulpit, that's a... You can be seated, honey, I'll call you in another minute or two. That's a flag, right? Knowledge is just the facts. But notice here the words that it says, if thou incline thine ear, verse 2, apply thine heart, criest after, verse 4, if thou seekest her. How many of you understand this is true? We can force feed our children all kinds of stuff. But what really matters is what they want to take in. It's not what's taught, it's what's caught. It's not what's just said, it's what they embrace. You can shine a light on the outside of a person, but the light's supposed to come from the inside. And I don't care who you are, parent, youth leader, pastor, it doesn't matter. Anyone that's trying to influence young people, you understand this. The key is if they want it. If they want it. Did you ever take a one-year-old in a high chair and try to give them that last teaspoon of applesauce out of the bowl and they don't want it? And I promise you, you have that spoon and you're trying to get it in there, and it might be in her hair, it might be on her bib, it might be on the high chair, it might be on the floor, but it ain't going in the pie hole. When they don't want it, no matter how badly you want it, the real difference is, do they want it? Now hear me, this is a very, very important thing when it comes to rearing children, when it comes to youth leadership and all of that. Sometimes, if the pastor gives me a $50 bill, I take it and I hide it up on the platform somewhere, and I say to the young people, hey, somewhere up here between right there and right there, there's $50, and whoever finds it can have it. And I'll stick it in a plant or the pulpit or the piano. And boy, I'll tell you what, when you tell a group of young people, there's $50 up here, and they'll turn the piano upside down. They'll tear the pulpit apart. They'll kill every plant on the platform. The communion table's a wreck, but when they find it, when that one kid finds it, and he pulls it out, and he goes, woohoo! And the other kids are going, oh, man, let me see it. When they want something, they know how to go after it. That's the key. That's the key. He says you've got to incline your ear to it. You've got to seek it with your heart. You've got to apply it. You've got to say, I want that. And so, hear me carefully. The first thing, it's found in the Bible, and the key, the secret, is to get them to want it, to love learning, to love, and knowledge. Hey, why do we want them to have a good foundation of knowledge? They should know Grand Rapids, Michigan, is along the Grand River, where there's a rapids in the state of Michigan. They should know there's a difference between the Panama Canal and the Alimentary Canal. They should know things about them. They should have an understanding, a basic fundamental. There is no premium on ignorance. God wants us to be well-educated, well-trained. I don't worship at the throne of education, but I promise you, there's no premium on ignorance. There's no benefit to them saying, I'm an ignoramus and I like it that way. That's child abuse in my mind. Our children are supposed to have a good foundational knowledge. Hey, I know that's a fire hydrant. I know it's made out of cast iron. This is my leg. I know it's not made out of cast iron. Hey, I know whether I have it from books, the bicameral legislature, or I know where Venezuela is, or I know that we have oceans on either side. I know geography, history, how to put rings in an Alice Chalmers tractor, the difference between insecticide and herbicide. I know the difference between the John Deere and inferior tractors. Hey, knowledge. Our children should want knowledge. Listen to me. We live in a global economy today, and I'm not being funny when I say this. We have this culture in America. A kid will say, oh, I think that's stupid. I'll never use it. That's boring. I never liked math. And many homeschool moms and even some Christian schools, they say, oh, that's okay, sweetheart. I never liked math either. You don't have to. Nobody else in the world talks like that, folks. I've been all over this world. I promise you, the people in India don't say, oh, yeah, you don't have to learn that. The people in China don't say, oh, yeah, you don't have to be good in math. They're going to steamroll over this country if we don't have good education. I'm just telling you. And this is a combined effort, home and church and school. But our children need to have the culture, the climate, the attitude, the spirit of, I want to know things. I want to know things. This business of, that's just dumb. Hear me. I was raised on a farm. I butchered a chicken. Here's the egg that's just coming out. Here's the one that's just being developed. Here's the one up in the birth canal. I see that this is a process. If you never butchered a chicken, you might not see that. But who knew? Raised on a farm, wiring the silo loader, fixing the broken wooden gate, repairing the broken water pipe, learning plumbing and electricity and woodworking. Who knew? Studying science and astronomy and aviation, having an interest in medicine. Hey, I went to college, got my bachelor's and master's and doctorate. And I don't make a big deal out of doctor. The only thing I actually ever doctored was a sick calf, and it died. We know it. But I'm in the school of lifelong learning. I hope you are too. I hope that you want to learn and your children see in you. My dad read 30 magazines every month and cover to cover the newspaper every day. We were brought up in a culture. My dad read the unabridged dictionary cover to cover and the encyclopedia, World Book Encyclopedia, cover to cover. We were raised in a family. Who knew? Who knew that when you get good education, someday I'd pastor when I'm 37 years old, and I'm going to pastor a church that has doctors and lawyers and pilots and scientists and farmers and engineers. You want to be able to talk halfway intelligently to them about their field of interest? You want to be able to, hey, someday you go. The girl was in the pool. The floaty was over her. She was underwater. Nobody saw it. She was under there for 12 minutes. When they recovered the girl, they tried to resuscitate her. They take her to the hospital. She's there on machines, making the lungs go up and down, pumping the blood around, laying there comatose. Hey, we may be able to recover her, we may not. Hey, she may live, she may not. Hey, a week laying there. But mom and dad say, Pastor King, do you think her soul is still there? Do you believe she's alive or dead? Do you believe she's already in eternity and so we can just disconnect the machines? Or do you think we should wait for another couple weeks to see? Hear me. Getting an education, learning, understanding the upper and the lower brain, understanding medicine and human physiology. You say, why would you study that? Listen. The Roman Catholic Church studied ensoulment for over 200 years, just trying to come up with when does a soul come into a body and when does a soul leave a body. You maybe never studied that, But when you're a pastor and real people look you in the face and ask real questions, you better at least have some idea what you're talking about. And I'm saying to you, it's like putting money in the bank. You get good knowledge, and then you never know when you might have to draw some out in the case of an emergency. Our children need to love knowledge. Don't permit them to think any other way. But there's a second word here in the passage. Notice in verses 2, 3, 4, 5 that they would seek knowledge and then understanding. Understanding is kind of the same way. It's you now. It's your turn. Yeah, right there. Understanding, what is that? It's a related word, but it's not the same word. Understanding is how things work together. Deeds have consequences. What you do matters. Hey, that's a fire hydrant. That's my leg. If I walk into the fire hydrant, I'm going to leak blood. I understand how things work together. ING on the end, dearie. Knowledge, understanding. Why do we want our children to have understanding? I'll tell you. If, brother, you right there, the handsome guy back there in the back, right there, yes. Could you shut the light switches off there? Yeah, one of you handsome dudes. Okay, if you're blonde, you think that's magic. Okay, you can turn them back on. But it's not magic. That actually, there's power being generated someplace, nuclear or by water, hydroelectric, whatever, but there's a big cable that comes in here, and there's a weatherhead and a panel, and there's secret wires in the walls, and right there, that light switch interrupts the black lead, and you have the neutral going through, and the black gets interrupted, and when you reconnect them, electricity goes through the wire to that light bulb. It's not magic. Understanding how things work is vital to keep our kids out of the cults. How many Pentecostals, how many others are, everything's a mystery, everything's magic, everything is, oh, I could never understand it. Oh, I don't know. I just, listen to me. That's why our children are siphoned off so often. If they had understanding, hey, that's a cigarette. That's cancer. That's premature death. I understand. Deeds have consequences. That's alcohol. That's drunkenness. That's losing my wife and my pickup truck and my job and my self-respect. Knowledge comes with understanding. Hey, look, this is so important, and this is primarily parenting. Giving your children understanding. Look, the Bible says in verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. This is a great big arrow pointing heavenward. From the time that little kid in a high chair wipes that bowl of Cheerios off on the floor and mama spanks his hands, to the time he goes to kindergarten and he pulls Susie's hair and he gets to sit in on recess, to the time they're in junior high and they get sent to the principal's office for not doing their schoolwork. What are we doing? We're teaching them. Deeds have consequences. What you do has results. By the time you're 16 and you get your driver's license, there's this guy with the funny lights on the back of his car, or on the top of his car. And if you don't know enough to read and obey a speed limit sign, they stop you and have a chat with you. Deeds have consequences. You do it 3 times, and then you get to stand in front of a guy behind a big wooden desk, and he's got a black robe, and you explain to him, hey, I'm a slow learner, and I didn't realize a $400 fine, and now I'm going to lose my license, and I kept driving, and now we have a cage for you, and we put you in this little cage, and we tell you how to dress, and what you're going to eat, and we're going to watch you go potty, and we're gonna start all over with you. We'll tell you what channel will be on the TV. Apparently, you're a real slow learner. Right? Right? That's what we do. When you get your first job, do deeds have consequences? I know you said we start at 7, but 8 works better for me, and I'm singing the song, Take This Job and Shove It. Listen, do you get to do that? No, you don't. Deeds have consequences. You start your own business. Hey, you're the dry cleaner. The people come in. Can I tell you, if you're just kind, thank you for your business, we'll have these ready on Tuesday, and you give them their own clothes back, and you make the correct change, you have a chance of having a more successful business than if you're some kind of social misfit, and you're grumpy and crabby, and you give them the wrong clothes and make the wrong change and don't thank them out the door. Hear me. Deeds have consequences. I'll just say this, by the by. In marriage, do deeds have consequences? Husbands? The wife says, oh, honey, I need a little encouragement. She's in the mirror after taking a shower. Honey, I just feel so, oh, I feel so ugly. Look at me, I sag, my cheeks sag, my armpits sag, my neck sags, everything on me sags, gravity's winning the battle. I just hate this, honey, I'm feeling blue. Please give me a little encouragement, say something positive. And the husband, oh, well, near as I can tell, your eyesight's perfect. Do deeds have consequences? Right? My dream boat turned into a barge. Hey, listen. Why? God says those that get knowledge and understanding will understand the fear of the Lord. All of this is a great big arrow pointing heavenward. We won't be shocked when we stand before God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. That's what it says. But we're not going to be surprised. We're not going to be shocked. Oh, wow, you mean I'm going to give account? Oh, wow, if I'd have known, I would have. Listen, you've been taught since the time you were in the cradle, from the time you were in the high chair, from the time you were in kindergarten, you've been taught. Deeds have consequences. And all the way till you stand before that throne, you're warned, you're told, you're given indication. Hey, what you do is going to matter. Our children need knowledge, but they need understanding of this is how life works. The third word is like it again. It's wisdom. Notice it's not the same as knowledge and understanding. It's not even spelled the same. But what is wisdom? Knowledge is the facts. Understanding is how things work together. Wisdom, yes, thank you, dear. You can erase the other lines. They're just to trick you. Knowledge is the facts. Understanding is how things work together. Wisdom, making right decisions in light of what you know and understand. That's a fire hydrant. That's my leg. Hey, my wisdom is I'm going to walk around fire hydrants. That's a lost boy, that's the back seat of a car. I'm going to keep my purity. The Staples button, that was easy. I made decisions not to do those things. I'm not going to get drunk. I'm not going to smoke cigarettes. I'm not going to horse around with a lost companion. Why? Because wisdom is learning to make right decisions in light of the facts of what I know and understand. The Bible says if our children would get knowledge, understanding, wisdom, they would find the knowledge of God. Verse 6, the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. But how many of you understand, and I've got to move quickly, that just knowing right from wrong is not the same as doing it. And we can make a 4-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old conform, but eventually they get their own brain, and eventually they start thinking for themselves. There's a reason the Lutherans and the Catholics have their confirmation classes at 12, 13, and 14. There's a reason that a Jew faces bar mitzvah at 14. When they go through adolescence and they have a nearly fully developed brain, now they begin to embrace things for themselves. Now they begin to understand things for themselves. If you educate a devil, all you have is a smart devil. And so all of a sudden moral choices start coming in. And hear me, look at the next few verses. Verse 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that, watch the word, walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, preserveth the way of his saints. If you understand this, it's not enough for them to know it. Now they have to practice it. Now they have to live it. Now it has to be day-by-day decisions that end up developing their character and a pattern. Hey, we want our children not just to know right from wrong. We want them to do right. We want them to walk uprightly. We want them to have a right path, the right way. A lot of young people, right there is the crucible of where they make decisions of what kind of character will they have. Do they actually read the Bible? Do they actually want to be in church? Do they actually attend upon the things of God? Hey, God's a buckler to those that walk uprightly. He'll come to your rescue. He'll be by your side. Our children need to understand, hey, sweetheart, son, this is, you need to embrace this for yourself. This is no longer just me saying it. It's no longer just the Bible preaching it. It's you practicing it. And then notice, you just read on down verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Verse 12 and verse 16, notice, to deliver thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman. When they reach 16, 17, 18, every church I go to, it's nearly the same way. We had 30 in juniors. We had 20 in the junior high. We had 10 in high school. We had 3 that graduated. And when they're 21 years old, there's only 1 or 2 that were raised in this church that are still faithful in this church. Hey, hey, talk to any parent whose children have made regrettable choices, and they'll tell you they started hanging out with. Their choice of companions is what led them down this wrong path. That carnal girl, that worldly boy, those secular companions, they got a job and fell in with the people that were doing drugs. So when Solomon says, my son, you need to seek after knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And then you need to walk uprightly because you need to be delivered from, protected from evil men and evil women. Not everybody out there is wicked, but there are plenty of those who would destroy them and defile them if they're not cautioned, if they're not warned, if they're careless about it, they're going to make wrong choices. And notice he says that he's going to deliver you from the way of the evil man. Verse 12, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even the stranger, which flattereth her. How many good young men were raised in our churches that fell for the batted eyelashes and the complimentary girl that led them down the path of worldliness? How many of our young girls got lonely and desperate, dateless and desperate, and said, oh, hey, he said I was pretty, so I'm going with that. Hey, we need God's help to deliver them from wrong companions. All of this, there's a fourth word. You erased the fourth one. Oh, boy, put one more word in, okay? It starts with a D. Verse number 10, 11, discretion. Discretion, verse 11. That's another word. It's related, but it's not the same. It's not knowledge. It's not understanding. It's not wisdom. Discretion is making the right decision ahead of time. Ahead of time. Being discreet, being circumspect, being prudent. Those are all Bible words. Thank you, dear. You're completely done. Your assignment's over. Oh, I owe you money. The pastor will give you $10. And so, hear me. This is the epitome. This is the ultimate. Would you take my marker? Here's what we really want for our young people. We want them to make a decision not to get drunk at camp, not when somebody's waving a glass of beer under their nose. We want them to say, I'm going to keep my purity and protect my reputation when they're in the youth group, not when some guy asks them to the back seat of a car. We want them to make the right decisions ahead of time. Prudence, circumspect, the way a tomcat walks around a bonfire. Hey, he knows it's going to light his fur on fire. He stays a healthy distance away from it. He wants no part of it. Circumspect. We want our children to have discretion. Knowledge is their education, understanding how things work together, wisdom to make right choices. Discretion. That's a fire hydrant. I don't want to walk into it. Oh, I notice there's only fire hydrants on one side of every street. If I always walk on the other side, I'll never run into a fire hydrant. Or, at the very least, I'll walk near the building, have my wife walk near the terrace, and let her walk into the fire hydrant. Kidding. Right? You can make decisions ahead of time that you're not subject to all the temptations. You're not subject to all of the failures. This is ultimately what we want. And he says, my son, if you'll seek after knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, discretion will keep you. God will give you and protect you. And then what? That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the upright. Do you want that for your kids? Hear me. These are absolute book, chapter, and verse, Bible verses on this. And I'm just challenging you folks. Make sure your children, we're not trying to be tricky or deceptive or manipulative or duplicitous in any way. Hey, this is what we want for you. This is what the Bible declares, and this is what we're pointing toward. We're not going to have disrespect toward education. We're going to honor the ones that are doing right and exalt that so you have right examples in front of you. My time is gone, but I could tell you stories all day of how this applies. You spend 17 years as a youth pastor, you get some lead in your pencil about, boy, we need to get back to this. I've seen way too many failures. Let's go God's way. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the scriptures. Lord, I do pray for the young people here that they might walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the upright. The upright shall dwell in the land and remain in it. You're going to reward them, and I pray, God, you'd be sweet and dear to each of the young people here. I pray in Jesus' name.